KM in the PM, watching the Mets game. And here we are, top of the third. Runner on first and second, one out. Rangers getting ready to go. I should get that on the TV. And that's a knock. That's definitely going to score one. That might score two. Right back at it on the Fan. 888-808-1019. Corbin Carroll with the double. That wasn't Corbin Carroll. That was Ketel Marte. And the Diamondbacks take a 2-0 lead over the Mets, top of the third. Waiting for the Rangers. If you haven't heard, Clark Schmidt will be shut down from throwing 4 to 6 weeks for the Yankees. And the Yankees take on the Angels tonight with Carlos Rodon on the mound, returning to the scene of the crime where he blew a kiss at a West Coast Yankees fan. The Yankees look to take the series. Definitely not lose the series with Anthony Rizzo getting a break. And DJ LeMahieu playing first base. Darius Slayton got his contract settled and figured out. The New York Giants are holding practices with Drew Locke getting a lot of first team reps as Daniel Jones is rehabbing from his ACL. Speaking of injuries, a little bit of a scare today with Aaron Rodgers, as Aaron Rodgers was on video. The Jets didn't say anything really about it. But some people are already freaking out, panicking, and saying, Aaron Rodgers, he's not right. He's not right, but I think he's going to be fine. Football is still far ways away. And, let's get back to the phones and talk about what you guys want to talk about. You know the number to dial. It's a new number, 888-808-1019. Ruben is in Belleville, New York on the Fan. You got it, Ruben.
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. Just have nothing to complain about the Yankees yet, so I wanted to talk about this Negro League thing, and I think you said it perfectly, man. Like, honestly, either way, who cares? You know, I think it's very good that we're recognizing all those numbers. Those guys were amazing. But at the same time, are we really going to get up in arms? And Gio said it the best in the morning. He goes, are we going to get up in arms about a museum in upstate New York that nobody goes to anyway? You know, like, who cares? Like, I remember when Harold Baines got put in. Everybody was going crazy, and it's like,
doesn't matter.
At the end of the day, they're not raising the prices because Harold Baines put in. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, okay, Ruben, I tried to stay away from it because when you're black and something like this happens, everybody just expects you to celebrate it and say, yeah, this is a great thing. But, I mean, I don't do that. I take a look at everything, and I took a look at it for a few days, and I didn't incorporate it in my first two shows. Peter from Manhattan, who has called about, you know, some Negro League things. He's called about, that in the past. He brought it to the table, and now that I'm talking about it, it didn't move me. It didn't. I didn't look at it as a day of celebration. It doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't do anything for those players. It doesn't do anything for their families. And nobody cares about the Hall of Fame or these record books. There's an issue right now. The participation of African Americans in Major League Baseball is low as it's been in a long time, if ever. I mean, we're going back to segregation times with the, like, 5-6% of black players in Major League Baseball. As you watch the Yankees and watch the Mets, how many African American players are present? Not many. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, where's some real stuff? Where's some real change, some real action?
You found at that Hinchcliffe Stadium, right, when they opened it out there?
Yeah, I've been out there a bunch of times. I've had the mayor on, and I think that's great because now there's a museum that stands there to tell the story of the Negro Leagues. But, you know, adding the stats from the Negro Leagues, if you actually think about it, it's like, I don't know. They're not going to add AAA stats. They're not going to add, it's like it was a separate league. And it wasn't of the level of Major League Baseball. I said there were women that played. It's just like, it's not valid, man. It's something that I don't want to call it pandering, but it's like, I don't know who they're pandering to or what they're trying to do. But for me personally, it came across my timeline and I saw some people celebrated it. And I was just like, this does nothing for me.
One last thing, if they are going to add stats, they need to add Satchel Paige's stats because he said he struck out over 20,000 dudes over his career. So
yeah, it's 2024. Thanks for the call, Ruben. It's 2024. We've come a long way, but going all the way back to say, "Oh, here we go now. We're gonna recognize these." Like, what does it do? It doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't do anything for you. And it doesn't feel right because, okay, now Josh Gibson has the highest batting average in baseball history, I guess. I mean, but teach. You know, it's a teaching opportunity to teach folks that, right, there was more than Jackie Robinson. And baseball has a long history. And you can't tell the history of the game without including the Negro Leagues. But for so many decades, they were forgotten. 888-808-1019. I just think it's corny to be like, oh, hey, look what we're doing now. Like, you know, and now the stats will be recognized by Major League Baseball and the Hall of Fame. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about the Hall of Fame. You know, some of my favorite baseball players that I watched growing up can't get in the Hall of Fame. Jorge Posada is not in the Hall of Fame. Don Mattingly, I didn't watch, but he's not in the Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds is not in the Hall of Fame, yo. Like, so what are we talking about? Nothing. It doesn't matter. I like watching baseball. I like going to the game. In modern day time, that other stuff, like, I guess, you know, they just, you know, teach the kids. Teach the kids. And I think you can teach the kids without altering stats and altering history. And I think it also is kind of backwards to say, oh, yeah, now we're going to incorporate these stats. Like, ooh, Lindor. No one on base, but Lindor is locked in. His second hit of the night is a homer. And that was a no-doubter to left center. Waking up the fans out in Citi Field. But, yeah, I don't know. If you're picking up what I'm putting down, I'm a young black man that wishes that more black people were into baseball, more black men played baseball. I've done a lot in my time, you know, to help grow the game, to talk about the game. You know, I got to work with the Players Alliance last year. The Players Alliance was formed in 2020 during the whole George Floyd Black Lives Matter movement. The black players in baseball came together. And, you know, that has been recognized by Major League Baseball. They are making real moves and real change. They are building ballparks. They are putting bats and balls and gloves into the hands of kids in inner cities, underprivileged kids that can't afford to go to batting cages, can't afford to be on travel teams, can't afford the equipment, the cleats. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's real. You know, changing the stats so that now Josh Gibson will be MLB's all-time leader in batting average. He's long deceased. I guess his family celebrates that, but do they make any money off that? No. He was somebody that was discriminated against. He's somebody that, you know, like these major league, like now in 2024, right, these Major League Baseball records, really it's just bringing up a conversation of segregation, racism, and how so many of these players didn't get the opportunity to play and make money and be stars and were kept out. And, you know, as much as we talk about Jackie Robinson every day, every week, every month, every baseball season, it wasn't just Jackie Robinson. So, yeah, I mean, I said I wasn't going to talk about it because I didn't know how to articulate it. I'm just speaking freely. You know, I've done a lot of research. I've written papers. You know, when Black History Month comes around, I love to talk about, like, I remember when I was working with John Boy, I did just some pieces on, like, the positions that African Americans play in baseball. And I'm like, how many black third basemen have there been? Shout out to Charlie Hayes. You know, I broke down a bunch of different reasons why, you know, there's a ton of black football players. There's a ton of black basketball players. But how come there isn't so many black baseball players? What happened to our heroes? You know, what happened to the Willie Mayses, the Hank Aarons? Even fast forwarding to Ken Griffey Jr., Tony Gwynn, where are those guys now? I mean, we have Mookie Betts, sure. You know, we have a C.J. Abrams. Some folks don't know the difference between being black African-American and being Dominican, so they'll point to Ronald Acuna Jr. or Rafael Devers and be like, what about them? Like, they're not black. They're not black Americans. They're not African-Americans. There's so many reasons. You know, when we look at the landscape today, if you're a good enough basketball player, you can go now to the G League Ignite for 1 year and go to the NBA. You can go to Duke for 1 year and go straight to the NBA. If you're a football player, if you're one of the top football players in the country, NIL now, you can be signed and be a millionaire freshman starting for a Big Ten school that is on national television every Saturday, an SEC school that's on national television every Saturday night. Why would you go play baseball where, yeah, you can make a couple dollars if you get drafted and signed, but then you got to go to the minor leagues and get on buses. And yeah, I don't have the time for it tonight, folks, but trust me, I could talk about it. I would love to do a podcast about it. I would love to see more black participation in baseball, but I'm cool with the Latin explosion that has happened in the game. It's a great game. I wish I played it more, but, you know, I fell into the same thing too, right? You know, there's a whole thing and a whole dichotomy about, you know, the absence of the black father in the household. So much of baseball is talked about father and son, right? Having a catch with your dad and your dad pitching to you and teaching you and taking you to the ballpark. There are a lot of young brothers like myself that did not have that growing up. So then what happens? You pick up a basketball because you can go outside, dribble a basketball by yourself, go to the court, play 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 4-on-4, full court, 5-on-5. You know, even football. I ended up being a football player. Just, I don't know, it was more available to me to play football. But I love baseball. Baseball was my first love. I was too little to play football. For the first couple years, I didn't have enough weight. I was too small to play and miss sign up for Pop Warner and stuff like that. So I played baseball and loved the game. And when I started playing baseball, 96, 97, 98, guess what team was really good? The New York Yankees. Jonathan is out in Los Angeles. Jonathan, you're on the Fan.
Keith, what it do, bro?
You know.
I'm right here. Yeah, man. I'm right here parked at the stadium. Like, I gotta tap in on my guy Keith, bro. Hey, man. So I'm gonna be at the game today. If you spot someone with a mask, you already know who it is, bro.
A dog mask. Okay.
Yeah, man. But one thing, it's really messed up, bro. That Aaron Boone just said that Clark Smith is gonna be out at least 4 to 7 weeks, and plus you add another month until he has to come back. I mean, those Yankee fans were all being all greedy, like, oh, my God, Cole's coming back. Now what are you going to do? Look, we have all these pitchers. It came back and bit us right in the butt, man. But it's all right. Hopefully, Schmitty will be back for sure after the All-Star game, a little sooner than that. But we got the best pitcher in baseball, man. I was going to tell you, what do you think about bringing in Clayton Beter? I really like that kid, what he did in spring training. But what do you think, man? I hear you on the other side, man. Go Yankees and go Rangers, bro. Great show like always. Thank
you. Appreciate you, bro. Thanks for the call from out there. Enjoy the game tonight. Clayton Beter, we saw very early in the season in Houston. And, I mean, I love the fact that we were able to trade Joey Gallo for Clayton Beter. Sidebar. Mark Davis, the owner of the Los Angeles Raiders, was rumored to have some 26-year-old Instagram model pregnant. And then plot twist. It comes out that Joey Gallo is the father, and you know, she went to social media and said, "We live in weird times, bro." This young lady said she sat at one game with Al Davis's son, Mark, and people just ran with it. That Dove Kleiman Twitter account is so bogus. They ran with something like, "Oh, congrats to the power couple." And she had to come out and say, you know, people are ruining a special time in my life. And Joey Gallo has gone from the Rangers to the Yankees to the Dodgers to the Twins to the Nationals now. And he's got a baby on the way. So congrats to him. Congrats to them. I love that the Yankees were able to trade Gallo and get Clayton Beter. You know, Stick Michael said you can trade anybody. Let's see who the Mets end up trading as Starling Marte drives in the first run of the game for the Metropolitans right up the middle in this bullpen game for the Diamondbacks. Yeah, I don't think this is a dire situation for the Yankees losing Clark Schmidt. It sucks because everything you read, you know, this rotation is making history. This rotation is the best in baseball. And now here comes a little curveball. Cody Poteet is going to be in the rotation. Clark is out for some time. Hopefully he comes back, but that ends all our questions about what do we do with Gerrit Cole. Now it's like, hey, Gerrit Cole, get your rehab started next week. Hopefully you don't need more than one or two. And we'll see you soon because the Yankees are going to face a gauntlet coming up here in the month of June. Gary's in Waterbury, my guy, back on the Fan.
Oh, McFear the Cavalier. Waller is whack. I do not want him anywhere near my team. Period. Stop. stop it.
You don't like his his music? He can rap. He can sing. He's showing you some range.
I don't even like his play. Sucks too. Anyways, for what he can see, you know that. Whack. And it's still Foo Philly, and Cashman still sucks until we get another ring. It's got to happen. That's his only validation. It's got to be the ring.
It's got to be the year, man. Trade deadline, 2 months from today.
Keith, not Bill. McPherson, not Sweat. You talk ish, player. You deserve what you get. Shouts to Keith Murray. I got Mika first goal tonight. FanDuel, you know that. And I got a 4-3 Rangers final.
All right.
That's in
regulation?
I'm a novice hockey. I just picked it up this year, and Rangers, I'm getting into it.
Do you think they're going to go to overtime, or do you think they're going to win it in three periods?
No, I took it FanDuel 4-3. Exact. Whatever.
Okay, correct.
And I got Mika first goal and Panarin anytime goal. So, whatever. I got to make it interesting. You know that.
Yeah. Good luck to you, Gary. Thanks for the call, as always. And as we end that call, it's on ESPN. I got to get that on the screen here. Got eyes on the Mets game, but I have the NHL.com up, and they just flashed the first period, 20 minutes. So here we go, New York, game 5 from the world's most famous arena, as the Rangers have to take this one, in my opinion. You do not want to drop this one and go back down to Florida. You lose back-to-back. No, positive energy. Big game tonight. 88. No, well, I've been like trying to just say it. 888-808-1019. You can't even say it like 888-8088. Like you got to just say the numbers. 888-808-1019. I know BT's been saying 888, but it's like, I heard Sal like 888 makes me think of Triple H or Triple A, you know, the wrestler or the car service or the minor leagues. I think I was saying 3-8s, and then, you know, you can't say 3-8s because then people think the first number to dial is 3. It's a good number, though, and we've got some ads and some jingles. So this is my last run here. I'm done at 8:55. So whatever you guys want to talk about that we've been talking about, dial 888-808-1019 like FM, KM, and the PM, BRB. Right back at it on the Fan in New York. It is 2-1. Diamondbacks out in Queens, and the Rangers have just began game 5 in Madison Square Garden. Haven't got that on a TV yet. Let me see if I can. It's obviously 0-0, but I think we're 5 minutes in. I believe this game is on ESPN for all to see tonight if you're interested in watching, and if you're interested in being on this show, dial 888-808-1019. Let me take the rest of my calls before Yankees baseball coverage right here on the Fan. LJ in New York, you got it. What's up, man?
Hey, how are you, Keith? I love your show. I listen every chance I get.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I got a quick Yankee story that it's like a tradition that my son and I developed that I hope you can develop a kind of tradition with your son. I took my son to his first Yankee game in May of 1999. He was 8 months old. It was Skippy Peanut Butter Derek Jeter Growth Chart Day. And they gave out this life-size poster of Derek Jeter with the growth chart on the side. So I hung it up behind my son's door, and that's where it stayed until he was about 2 years old. Then we started doing the measurements, and we would do it every Mother's Day. And he became a Yankee fan, and he became a baseball fan, and eventually he went all basketball come high school and college, but we still did the growth chart thing. And he would constantly say, I'm going to be as tall as Derek Jeter. The problem was he was going into high school at 5'3". And he ended up making the basketball team, but we kept doing the growth chart. And every year, Mother's Day, growth chart. Finally, graduates college, gets a job out in California. He's got to move out there. So he's cleaning out his room, and he calls me upstairs. He goes, Ma, look, I made it. And he's standing next to the poster. Derek Jeter's 6'3". My son is 6'3". So it was just something we did every year. And it was really cool because, you know, when I got the poster, it was my first Mother's Day, and I was just keeping my fingers crossed that my son would get into any sport. Yeah. I just wanted him to have some kind of... And so baseball and basketball was his thing. And like I said, every Mother's Day, we look forward to getting over to that poster and marking the sides and seeing how big he was. So it's a weird kind of tradition, but it was something that we did every year. And thanks. I hope that you can build that with your son.
Thanks for sharing that story. Can I ask a question? Yeah. Are there any other guys in your family 6'3 or taller?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my brother is 6'4", my nephew's 6'5", okay. My dad was 6'3". Yeah, my son's dad was 6'1", you know, so they were tall. It's just that it took him forever. It took him until his junior year of high school to finally start to grow, you know, but he had faith. He was like, I'm going to be a tall as Peter.
He willed himself to get there, and that's why I ask. I'm like, I don't know if it was abnormal for him to be the only 6'3 guy around a bunch of 5'10 guys, but that's a great story.
Yeah. No. So it's a weird kind of tradition that we did, and we finally were able to take down the poster. It was held up with like 5,000 yards of scotch tape. It was all raggedy, but he would never let me take it down. So I hope you can build some kind of weird little thing that's just like between you and your son, whether it's football or baseball, any sport.
I can't wait for it. I'm looking forward to it. He's getting to the point where he can walk somewhat now, but not on his own. Hasn't taken his first steps, but he can push his own stroller. He has this like walker toy.
That's great.
He's like walking around the couch, using the couch to keep himself up. He can say basketball, but he's always like bat ball.
Yeah.
And as soon as he sees one, he lights up for a basketball. I'm trying to introduce him to baseball. I have this little Yankees helmet that I've left in his crib, and I know he's starting to, you know, recognize the Yankees logo because he's starting to point. I don't think he can say Yankees, but he's starting to point to identify, like, this logo is in our house 100 times. Like, I know what the Yankees are, so we're getting there.
My son was a Yankee for, like, 3 years in a row for Halloween when he was little. Once he recognized what it was all about and he saw that the whole family was Yankee fans, he was like, oh, Yankees. It took a while, but then he got into it. And it was fun. It seems like yesterday. I mean, he's going to be 26 next month. But it was a great little thing that we had. And, you know, doing the whole thing, baseball and having catches and all that stuff. And it was because of him that he taught me basketball. Yeah, but he's a basketball guy, but he still watches the Yankee games, and he constantly texts me from California, you know, oh, I saw the Yankee game, I watched it while I was getting out of work, and, you know.
Good. So got to win a World Series for him. Got to win a World Series this year. It's been 15 years. You know, he's probably too little to really remember the last run.
Oh, he remembers the 2009. He remembers that one. That one, he was 11 years old for that one.
So okay,
he was,
11. Yeah,
he was
11.
He was
enough.
Totally. Yeah, he watched every game, the whole bit. Now, but I want to wish you congratulations to you and your wife, and enjoy every minute of it because it runs by real fast.
Yes, it does. Thanks for the call, LJ. It's not cliche out there when they say they grow up fast or it goes by quickly. I am now looking at the pictures from a year ago. There's an app called TimeHop where you can link all your social media platforms and it can go back through the years. Like if you follow me on Instagram, my Instagram story, I have a post from 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and now I'm seeing all the posts and pictures of my son as a baby, and it's just wild to think about him like just being on his back, not being able to move. The way that he moves around now, he's like, you got to watch him. He doesn't stop. Even the way that he talks now and is starting to know words. My wife counted, he knows over 20 words. And he just was making sounds back then. And, you know, he's off formula now. It is crazy to see. It's not cliche. It is the truth when they say, you know, take pictures, savor every moment. It goes by fast. The first year goes by super fast and they change a lot. And my son now, I'm like, this isn't even a baby now. He's more of like a little toddler now. He's turned into a little boy. So I'm blessed. And shout out to all the parents out there. God bless you. I had no idea what it actually felt like, what it took, you know, to be a parent, to be a dad, and I'm learning now over a year in. 888-808-1019. Let's keep it rolling. More calls. Call me up if you'd like to join the show in my last 20 minutes here. Sam is in Lawrence, New York. Sam, you got it.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing good. You sound like a great dad. I'm just going to say that right there. I just wanted to ask you, if you were Brian Cashman, what moves do you think you could make to win it all this year? Like, it seems like a really good team. What would you do?
Yeah, I'm getting greedy if I'm Cashman. And I said so much to him. I'm like, be greedy. Like, if somebody offers you a good player, like, why not have reinforcements in case somebody gets hurt in the second half of the year? The Yankees, and I'll say this to every Yankee fan, the Yankees always go into October with somebody either hurt or banged up or out, whether it's DJ, whether it's Benintendi, whether it's Matt Carpenter, whether it's Gary Sanchez or Edwin Encarnacion coming back. It's like we always end up missing a Michael King in the postseason. We always end up not having the healthy roster that we expected. So stack the deck. Obviously, everyone's going to first say bullpen. Bullpen, bullpen, bullpen. Get us a power pitcher. Get us maybe another closer type, you know, bullpen arms. And they're readily available at the deadline. But I also would look at this infield. The outfield is set. The outfield, like, I kind of laugh at the fact that we have Jason Dominguez, who showed you that he can hit at the major league level, a switch-hitting center fielder that we're like, yeah, no rush, leave him. The outfield is fine. But this infield can be improved. We'll see what DJ LeMahieu does in this next month that he'll be back. But, man, Rizzo, I guess I just say he's showing his age a bit. He'll be 35 in August. He looks like he's lost a step with the glove and at the plate. Why not potentially get somebody that can play first base, maybe also play the outfield? Maybe, you know, this is a utility guy that can play first base. Gleyber Torres. Not for nothing. If you could get anything for him, I just said, Stick Michael said you could trade anybody. I'm watching that 1990 Bronx Zoo doc. Like, if you can take Gleyber Torres out of the equation and minus all of the bonehead plays, the errors, the running into outs, the falling asleep at the wheel, that improves the team. Third base, John Birdie's been hurt twice in 2 months. John Birdie's been hurt twice in 2 months. He's 34. Oswaldo is good. But, like, if we're trying to compete in the postseason, maybe there's some, maybe there's an option out there at third base. And I get greedy. Maybe another catcher. Maybe another catcher in the mix.
That's too much.
I know that's too much. They're not going to get a bullpen arm, a first baseman, get Gleyber Torres out of here, a third baseman, and a catcher. But maybe they get a utility infielder that can play multiple positions. Maybe they get one or two bullpen arms. I'd be cool with that. What were you about to say, Sam?
I said, do you have anyone you have your eye on for like a first baseman? Any names you got? I like Luis Rengifo for like a third baseman.
Yeah, because we're watching him, right? We're watching him right now, and he's not going to make the postseason in Anaheim. We're like, hey, that guy's a little bit of a player. I know everybody talks about Mason Miller, but Mason Miller, like, everybody wants him, but I don't think the Oakland A's are going to just give him up for nothing, and I think they might just hold on to him unless they get an offer they can't refuse. Ken Rosenthal came out today and said Jesus Luzardo is going to be targeted, but like right now the Yankees aren't really going to be in the market for starting pitching because they have the best rotation in baseball with the AL Cy Young winner from last year coming back. So, nobody have my eye on yet, but we're 2 months away from the deadline. That stuff will start to materialize. Buyers will become buyers, sellers will become sellers, and the good players that play well over the next, you know, 2 months on teams that aren't going anywhere, you know, they're going to be on the market.
Yeah, and this is the year, man. I'm telling you, this is the year. I'm 24. I've followed the Yankees my whole life. I was 9 years old in 2009. This is the year.
Yeah. Like, you remember it, but you weren't old enough to really follow the season and appreciate it.
This is the year, man. This is the year. Thanks, man.
Thanks for the call, Sam. 888-808-1019. It is the year. Why not? 15 years. You know, 15 years is a long time, a decade and a half. And everything about this team feels right, right? Their chemistry, the way they play the game, the emergence of young players like Volpe, Cabrera, Austin Wells, Judge going crazy, since he got his first ejection. Juan Soto is a Yankee. Ken Rosenthal also spoke on that. And, you know, when I say it, I sound like a hater. But Ken Rosenthal can go on Foul Territory podcast and say, Juan Soto's no dummy. Like, why would he sign with the Mets? You know, if the Yankees come even close to an offer that Steve Cohen's going to make, why would Juan Soto go over there? Juan Soto, and this is my words, not Ken, Juan Soto is the fiercest competitor on the field. He battles every pitch. He's talking to the umpire after every pitch. He's staring down, doing the shuffle against the opposing pitcher. Every pitch, this guy already has one World Series ring. He wants another. He wants to win. So I know there's a ton of people in the camp of money talks. Whoever is the highest bidder is going to win. Unfortunately, the Mets are playing themselves out of being that highest bidder. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you have the richest owner in the sport. Everybody knows that. But why would Juan Soto leave this Yankees culture, this Yankees team, the Yankees winning how they are winning right now and potentially in the next 10 years that he could be signed to go across town and watch from, you know, no, it just doesn't make any sense. So 888-808-1019. My last run coming up here after my last break. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Right back after this. New York City, get the money. No Diddy, though. All right, this is the last little bit I got here. Keith McPherson on the Fan wrapping things up. We talked about Jorge Lopez, and shout out to him and his family. Hopefully he lands on his feet now that we understand more about what he was going through yesterday. And crazy, you know, it's his son's birthday, National Son's Day. His son suffers from a specific illness, and you know, this is a guy who had mental health issues, and I'm sure he had a ton on his mind being called on again and not performing his best and being ejected and throwing his glove into the stands and then having the media misinterpret what he was saying as English is his second language. Now that that's in the past, maybe the Mets can go out here tonight and get a win for the faithful fans that showed up to Citi Field. It is 2-1 in the top of the sixth. The Diamondbacks lead in what has become a bullpen game with Zach Gallen out. Speaking of out, Clark Schmidt is out at least 2 months because he's on the IL and he'll be shut down from throwing 4 to 6 weeks. Cody Poteet will make the start on Saturday in place of him. And we wait for Gerrit Cole to return. Gerrit Cole threw 43 pitches. And said he felt good, and he's going to get back on the mound. And I think they said as soon as next week, we could see him have a rehab start. So that is great. These things work themselves out. All the talk about a six-man rotation. I told you last week, Jack Curry said, nah, that's not going to happen for so many reasons. And now with Clark Schmidt out of the rotation, that opens up a spot for Gerrit Cole. Anthony Rizzo is out of the lineup tonight. DJ LeMahieu will play first base, and Oswaldo Cabrera will play third base, and we'll get to take a look at the team without Rizzo. And, you know, DJ got his first hit last night because of Rizzo running into that ball and stopping that double play. Boone got tossed. Boone will be back tonight as the Yankees look to take the series in Anaheim before heading to San Francisco. Coverage of that game is coming your way in a couple minutes. I'm in here watching the Rangers. It's still scoreless with about 2:45 to go in the first period. And Igor's doing his thing. I just seen him, you know, literally on his back, like straight out. I don't even know what they call that. Looked like he was like a mummy to stop a puck. He was fully on his back, extended hands to his side. Oh, man, that was one-on-one. This Rangers game is good right now. But first period is coming to an end. I tried to mix in some football stuff about Aaron Rodgers and a little injury scare in practice and Drew Locke and Caleb Williams and the Bears getting on Hard Knocks, but nobody bit on the football stuff. And I got to talking about the Negro League's records being included in Major League Baseball records, something that I kind of stayed away from early on in this week because I just really didn't have you know, a hard stance on it. I did have a call where somebody was calling up to disagree with me, and good. You can disagree with me. Like, that's what all of this is. It's opinion, and somebody out there might say, this is the best thing ever. It's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that the Negro Leagues are being recognized. It's just, I don't know, not the smartest thing, because the Negro Leagues were not Major League Baseball. They were a separate league. And, you know, all things considered, if we're trying to be fair, right, if we're trying to, you know, add these records to do right, then you got to consider that they weren't competing against Major League Baseball players with those numbers. But it does not matter. We're talking about over 100 years ago. And like, what matters is that the stories of the Negro Leagues are being included in the Baseball Hall of Fame, in the records, and not, you know, just completely ignored like they never happened. But again, it's just another thing. Like, something I thought during the break, I was like, I remember during the Black Lives Matter movement, it was like, in Washington, D.C., they painted Black Lives Matter on the street somewhere. And I'm like, what does that do? What does that do for anybody? I guess, thanks. Like, remember, like, Aunt Jemima, the people that make Aunt Jemima syrup, they just changed the name to, I don't know, something like Pancake Company. What does that do? I wasn't offended by that, but I understand. It's something. It's better than nothing, and we've come a long way, and we've got longer to go. That's the end of my show. So C-Mac is in here, but C-Mac, you're not coming on right now. C-Mac's going to just hang out. I understand. C-Mac is in here to watch the game, because if he stayed home and watched the game, he would be up against it, having to drive here.
Right, then I'm traveling during the Yankee game. Who wants that?
You can come to work, and you can watch the Rangers game as he's wearing his Rangers jersey. You can watch the Yankee game, watch the Mets game, put your notes together, and do your thing. I've been missing your show because I've been going to sleep. I've been going to sleep last out of the Yankee game. I haven't heard any of your stuff this week, but we'll be back to our regularly scheduled program next week. That's all I've got. Enjoy Yankees baseball coverage on The Fan. We'll do this one more time tomorrow, a little bit longer. I'll be on at 6:30, I think, until 9:30. So I will come with more stories and more topics and more takes and things to talk about. Keith McPherson on The Fan. That's all I've got. KM in the PM. Be good, everyone. Catch you tomorrow. Bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. W.